We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And you can come join us on May 20th for our next community meal. This is open to our community, free of charge. We're having lasagna and garlic bread and brownies.
Yum.
I'm going to be here for sure. So please come and join us at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour from 5 to 7 that evening for good food and fellowship. Our birthdays this week are Nick Krieger, May 2nd. May 3rd, Susan Shipley. May 6th is an anniversary, Chris and Taylor Barkus. And birthday, Alexander Willis. And a birthday on May the 7th, Elizabeth Strimple. Our flowers this week are sponsored by Pastor Angel in honor of Terry Nicholson for Administrative Day. And the radio ministry is sponsored by Kathy Smallwood in honor of Mark's birthday. And now we will have a scripture reading from John 11:18. That's on page 1062 of your pew Bible if you want to follow along. So scripture, John 10:11-18. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of his sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. He woke up just as the sun was peeking over the top of the mountain, and he took just a moment to take in all of the beauty around him. The glorious colors that God paints for us during the sunrise, the smell of the lush grass and the herbs and the flowers that were growing all around him. Then he began to look around him, making sure that everything was safe. As he became more fully awake, he looked over his flock, and they were all present. He got up like he had done every day for weeks. And he walked around the stone sheepfold, making sure that nothing had happened during the night. As he passed by, he checked on all of the sheep lying there. This was the shepherd. This shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He was protective. He was caring. He was gentle. He was loving. And he carried with him a shepherd's crook. This thing was his way of protecting and loving and guiding his sheep. He also carried a sling and smooth stones in a little leather pouch that was attached to his belt here. Because you see, that slingshot and those stones weren't just used for killing giants the way David had at one time. That was the trademark of every good shepherd. They were a crack shot with that slingshot. They would come against mountain lions and wolves and bands of thieves looking to steal a sheep or two. And the shepherd's crook, I don't know about any of you, but I love the 23rd Psalm that Missy was talking about. I absolutely love it. And as I got a little deeper with my walk with God, I began to focus on thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. And at first glance, when you find out what the rod and staff are used for, what a shepherd does with it, it might not seem comforting. But to me, it's comforting because I am the most directionally challenged person you're ever going to want to meet. So when I get lost, my shepherd takes the end of this and he puts me back on the path. The end of this is also really good for attacking mountain lions. And Lord forbid any thief should try to come into the herd and steal one of the flock. A piece of this over the top of the head would send them running. And the crook, well, sometimes those little lambs, as they're going up the top of the steep mountain to the quiet, still waters, begin to play, and they don't pay attention, and they fall down into the ravines. And the shepherd takes the crook, and he gently puts it underneath the lamb's leg and lifts them back up. Sometimes the shepherd has to take this crook and grab a hold of one of the sheep by the neck and pull them back out of the way of danger. And when I first realized what this shepherd's crook was used for, I thought, well, I don't know if I like that. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Sounds kind of vicious to me. But you know what? With all of my heart, I want to follow my shepherd. One of my most treasured hymns is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And in it it says that the heart is prone to wander. And that's all of us, beloved. Our hearts are prone to wander, to stray away from our beloved shepherd. And every time it comes to the part where in that treasured hymn it says, my heart is prone to wander, to leave the one I love. And then it says, take my heart and bind it unto thee so that I won't wander anymore. Then I have appreciation for that shepherd's crook, because it keeps me on the right path. Do you know, sometimes when one sheep is just a little rebellious, any of us here rebellious? Raise your hand, Ron. I know you are. Okay. I can be a little rebellious. Sometimes that loving shepherd has to hit one of the sheep's legs and break it, so that it won't wander off anymore. And then he carries that sheep around his neck as the leg heals, and they become closer and closer. That's the way our God is with us. Sometimes he has to discipline us. Sometimes he has to hobble us. Sometimes he has to humble us so that we will follow him, so that we will obey, so that we will know his voice. You know, the shepherd leads those sheep up to a place in the morning where they can get their fill of cool, refreshing water. He has scoped it out the night before, and he knows exactly where that path is. It is not only important that he knows where that path is, it's important that he knows that it is a pool of quiet and still water. You see, if it's rushing water, it'll scare those sheep. If it has an undercurrent and the sheep step into it to get a drink, it will carry them away. And that wool that's growing on the sheep, it will soak up water like a sponge. And not even that shepherd's crook will be able to lift the sheep out of the water. The shepherd has thought of everything. After they are finished with their cool morning drink, he leads them to a lush pasture. And out in the pasture, he goes ahead of them and he picks up all the briars and moves them aside. He looks for sharp stones that might cut the sheep's soft little noses, picks them up and puts them aside. He is always on the lookout for poisonous plants that might cause illness to those sheep. He rips them out by the root and he gets rid of them. And after all the sheep have been engaged in eating their lunch on that beautiful green lush meadow, he finds himself a big shade tree and he sits down underneath it. He always keeps one eye open, making sure that he knows where all those sheep are, because sheep aren't always the smartest beings. Bah. The sheep can start eating along the pasture and just keep going, munching on their lunch until they have strayed off. Then they are in danger. They are in danger of wild animals. They are in danger of bands of thieves who are hungry. So the sheep keeps his eye upon them. Once in a while, a sheep does wander off, and it is the shepherd's duty to go and find that one sheep that's wandered off. The rest of the sheep, let's say 99, are relatively safe on their own, but he is bound to go and find that one sheep and bring it back into the fold. And now and again, he will find a sheep that belongs to another fold. And all the sheep are welcomed into the fold and loved until he can get them back to the master. You see, the shepherd rarely owns their own sheep. A few do, but not many. Most of the shepherds gather sheep before they start their season from different places, and it is their responsibility to keep them healthy and safe, to fatten them up, to let that valuable wool grow, because there were very few things that you could make clothes out of in that day and age. That wool was worth a good deal of money. He kept them safe. The shepherd loved those sheep. And the sheep loved their shepherd. They knew his voice. Even when the chaos would happen, when two flocks ran into each other, one going up the side of the mountain and one coming down, the sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And he would keep them on the path that they were supposed to go so that they did not stray. Lord knows that there is enough chaos in our world today. And each and every time I come up here to speak the word of God, I will preach hope. But I'm never going to lie to you. Our world is not going to get a whole lot calmer. It's going to be chaotic. Unless we know our shepherd's voice, unless we are grounded in the word of God, unless we have a flock that will help surround us, protect us, lift us up, and comfort us when the briars of life come about our direction, we are vulnerable to attack. And Lord knows that this dark and chaotic world is full of pitfalls and traps. That's why it's important to come to church. You know, I tell people all the time, you don't have to come to church to be saved. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness, ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, and ask Him to begin changing your life. But if you don't go to church, whew, you are victim to all those traps out there. You are victim to crazy people. You are victim to your own mind when the evil one, the father of lies, gets into your head and starts telling you you're not good enough, or starts producing fear in you. That is why it is so necessary that we hear our shepherd's voice. And when the sheep have been fattened up, when their wool is nice and fluffy, the shepherd leads them back to their masters. But you know, they'll always know that shepherd's voice. When he's out there in the pasture with them, an interesting thing begins to happen. One by one, the sheep come over to the shepherd. And he begins to have conversation with them. He scratches them behind the ear. He pats them on the head. He rubs their belly. He knows what each one individually needs and likes. And they spend a little bit of time with the shepherd. And then you see him prance off. Have you ever seen a sheep prancing? It's great. They jump. They take off across the fields. Now their spirits have been nurtured. Is it any different for us? When we go and spend a little bit of time with the good shepherd, our spirits are nurtured, and we can hop off and begin to deal with our daily duties, having been fortified with that time with the shepherd. So when he brings them back to their owners, they are happy, fat, and fluffy, and he gets a great reward for having brought them back safely. But if even one sheep is missing, he has to pay for that sheep out of the reward, out of the salary that he's made. But you know what? That does not bother a good shepherd. Not at all. What bothers him is that he lost a sheep. He did not do what he swore to do. He did not protect that sheep. Because a good shepherd will lay down his life for each and every one of his sheep. He's not a hired hand that turns his back when the wolf comes to attack. And you know, if he does lose a sheep, it begins traveling throughout the community that he's not trustworthy, that he can't be trusted. Don't leave your sheep with him. His trademark is to be trustworthy and to take care of those sheep. So after he has taken the sheep and brought them back to their masters, he heads home, and he lives along the seashore. As he gets up along the seashore, he hears a man talking, and he sees a great crowd surrounding them, and he begins to listen to what the man has said. And then he remembers he's heard about this guy. He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. They say he's a prophet. They say he's a miracle worker. Well, he's just a lowly shepherd. He doesn't pay much attention to that kind of stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. He has great faith. It takes great faith to stand between those you love and the enemy that's attacking. But it's not the kind of faith that we sit around and debate in Sunday school. You either have it or you don't. He starts to listen to what that man is saying, and he finds himself walking closer and closer to the man. When all of a sudden he feels eyes upon him and he feels uncomfortable. You've been there. You've walked in some place and you know you don't belong. Everybody's staring at you. Something just doesn't feel right. Has anybody done that? I know I've done that. I am so thankful that walking in the doors of this church, like Chad says, walking in the doors of this church, I have never heard anyone say that they don't feel comfortable, that they know that this is a place of comfort. He begins to feel eyes upon him. And he starts looking around him. And he has walked straight into a circle of fancy dressed men in elegant robes and fine linen and jewels. And they smell like a gallon of perfume has been doused upon them. And they're all staring at him because he looks out of place. Well, you know, he was about as clean as anybody could be after spending a couple months up in the hills with the sheep. But he immediately knew that he was out of place. He didn't have those expensive oils on him. His clothes were a bit more ragged and tattered. And he began to notice that they were glaring at him and they were stepping back. I'll never forget as long as I live. The first church that I went to, I had gone twice before. And it was one of the few times that my kids' dad actually came and picked them up. And my car was broke down. I walked 5 miles from public housing, low-income housing, to the church. I had on shorts and the nicest t-shirt that I could find. And I walked to the church. And when I got there, a man stood in front of the door, arms crossed, tapping his foot on the ground, looking at me up and down. And I swear, it felt like it was 10 minutes. I'm sure it was only a minute or two. And he looked at me and he went, "Huh, shorts in church." I hadn't found my voice yet. I was just coming to know the Lord. Scared the life out of me, but I remember barely uttering, "This is all I have. Do you want me to leave?" He stood there again, looking me up and down. Felt like forever. Finally, he stepped out of the way of the door. Didn't say a word. Didn't hold the door open for me like I had watched him do for everybody else. But I went inside and I decided right then and there, I would never allow anybody to feel that way. That's the way our Lord and Savior Jesus is. Jesus looked at this shepherd. He looked through the crowds about the time that the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes started backing away from him. And he met that shepherd's eyes and he held good eye contact with him. And he began proclaiming, "I am the good shepherd." He went on to say things like, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep." His gaze switched to that group of fancy-smelling priests over there, and he began to say, "The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep, nor care for them, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The hired hand does not truly care for the sheep." Well, by now, every eye in the crowd was fixed upon these two groups. Here is this humble shepherd who gives his all. And here is a group of religious people that are looking down upon this person. And Jesus is not going to have any of it. Before they could say a thing, he looked right at their self-satisfied grins and he began to preach. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, he had those priests full attention, but they were no longer listening to what he said. They were trying to figure out who they were going to destroy first. Was it going to be this little sheep herder standing in the midst of them? Or was it going to be that rabble-rousing preacher up there? Huh. In a matter of seconds, Jesus had declared that the shepherd was of more value because he was real, because he was authentic, because he cared for those that he was protecting. He was trustworthy. The priest was a hired hand. And then you heard them begin to mutter among themselves, "One flock, well, I never know. It clearly states in our laws that those who are unclean will be kept separated from those who are clean. We run things here." They were the leaders of the true flock. And they had the power and the authority behind them to make sure that it continued to be that way. They looked at the shepherd. They felt pity for him. They felt disgust. But they thought that he was meaningless and of no real threat. The real threat, however, stood before them. It was that rabble-rousing preacher who was saying that everybody has value, that he loved each and every one of the sheep in his flock. And you know, it doesn't matter what denomination we are. It doesn't matter what church we belong to. We are all of one flock. And that flock is the Christian flock. We all have one amazing, good shepherd. And I pray that each one of us keep in tune to his voice, so that we hear him, we follow him, we obey him, and we love all people around us as if they were one of his children, because they are.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you